Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Here ends our gospel lesson. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we are in our first week of the Lenten season, journeying with Jesus into the wilderness. I did a search for the etymology of the word Lent and found that it comes from the Old English word Lenten, which means spring or springtime. Basically, we call it Lent, but that is shorthand for the phrase the fast of the Lenten, or springtime season. The more you know, right? So here we are, journeying with Jesus into the wilderness, where the Gospel of Matthew says he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. This fast of his was as much symbolic as it was literal. The 40 days and 40 nights was in line with Moses' 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, Mount Sinai, in which he received the Ten Commandments and the rest of the laws found in the books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness is also reminiscent of the Israelites' 40 years of wandering in the desert themselves, dependent solely on the Lord for food in the form of manna and quail, as well as random water from rocks for drink. They were certainly tempted throughout these 40 years, quite a lot actually, and by all biblical accounts, the Israelites failed this temptation miserably. They whined and they complained and they whined some more, with a touch of idolatry here, murder there, and mutiny on the side. In many ways, Jesus' 40 days in the desert turned out to be the exact opposite of the Israelites' 40 years there, centuries earlier. Thinking about our text for today, though, I was struck by something different than the contrast between the desert wanderings of our different biblical characters. The lectionary texts for this Sunday have us reading the story of Adam and Eve's temptation in the Garden of Eden, alongside of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. This contrast makes perfect sense in some rites, and it piqued my curiosity this past week. In both stories, Satan, the accuser, the tempter, comes to the main characters of the story in order to tempt them into disobeying God's will for their lives, albeit in different forms. In both stories, the temptation comes to them from the outside, a being and a force trying to draw them away from God. In both stories, this tempter tries to get them to reach out and grab what they lack, both food and power, in order that they can elevate themselves by their own efforts. And in both stories, the characters had been given instructions to resist these temptations. Adam and Eve by direct instruction from our Creator, and Jesus through Scripture. Yet while there are several similarities, the outcomes of these two stories could not have been more different. Adam and Eve had everything. I mean, sure, Adam was lonely in the beginning, but God took care of that by ripping off one of his ribs and forming Eve out of it. They did not need to work for food, labor for making clothes, or even fret about keeping their house clean. They were simply free to be, cared for by God and all that God had provided for them. Yet when they were tempted and succumbed to eating the fruit, they were left feeling naked, hungry, homeless, and hopeless. They went from having it all to losing everything in pursuit of a chance to be like God, hoping to elevate themselves to divine stature. Jesus' temptation, on the other hand, started in a place of nothingness. The text says that the Spirit led him into the wilderness in order to be tempted. This is interesting because Jesus' temptation originated from God, not the devil. His testing was divinely ordained, unlike in the garden where the serpent crept in on its own. When the tempter came to Jesus, our Savior was starving, thirsty, and lonely. In terms of his physical state, Jesus was at his most vulnerable. I don't know about you all, but if I miss a meal or two, I start to get on edge and am easily swayed by a vending machine or all those candy bars at checkout lines. I can't imagine what I would be like after skipping meals for 40 days. But it was then, and only then, that Satan, the accuser, the tempter, came to Jesus and tried to pull him away from God, away from himself. In that moment, when the tempter started to lay it on thick, it became even more apparent how different Jesus was from that first couple in the garden. While they were tempted with promises that eating the forbidden fruit would make them like God, elevating them from their simple-minded status, Satan saw that Jesus already was God and challenged him on those grounds. He said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." The devil knew that Jesus is the Son and challenged him to prove it by performing a divine miracle in order to provide for himself. Yet, unlike the Israelites who pined, groaned, and even turned to other gods in order to be fed when they were in the desert, Jesus did not give in. He knew that there was more to that moment than the hunger that overwhelmed him. So he replied, quoting Moses' words from Deuteronomy, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The devil would not be outdone by this rebuke from Scripture, though, so he quoted some other verses on his own. He somehow, miraculously, or in a vision at least, took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. Now, this is representative of the highest point of religious power in ancient Jerusalem. The devil could have taken him to a high cliff or a mountain somewhere in the desert, but instead, he chose that point as a place of religious significance in order to tempt Jesus in front of God and God's chosen people. From there, the devil quoted a verse from Psalm 91 against Jesus, saying, "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." As is too often the case among Christians today, the devil intentionally misinterpreted and misquoted Scripture for selfish and devious purposes. He tried to use God's word against Jesus as a weapon in order to make Jesus look just as selfish and evil-minded as he is. But Jesus would not take the bait, responding, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." After Jesus rebuked him, the devil tried to tempt Jesus into bending to self-interest and a lust for power by promising him the world. Fortunately, Jesus resisted all these temptations too, saying, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." At this renunciation of evil, the Lord's angels attended Jesus and cared for him in ways that Satan never would or could. Jesus was tempted from a place of hunger, thirst, and yearning. But he resisted Satan's temptations until the end and beyond. Adam and Eve had everything they needed, but were still swayed by the tempter into pursuing something that they did not have. It was because of this selfish pursuit that they lost everything that they already had. Jesus, on the other hand, lacked almost everything. He had no worldly comforts. He was hungry, thirsty, isolated, and probably heavily sunburned. Sure, he may have had the divine insight to know how things would turn out if he resisted these temptations that the devil was dangling in front of him. But it is one thing to foresee how things will turn out, and another thing to follow through. Most of us know that eating fast food, pizza, and all sorts of other delicious goodies will not do much to keep us thin. But it is an entirely different thing to eat healthy food 100% of the time, as so many of us Americans know. So it was for Jesus. He knew the importance of staying true to God's will over his earthly life, had his commitment tested to the extreme, and followed through by being faithful to his Father in ways that no human before or since ever could. He resisted evil on our behalf in ways that humans in even the most perfect of circumstances could not, so that we might believe in the one man that evil could not claim as its own. This Lenten, springtime season, we remember that God resisted evil for us, as one of us. God knows what it is like to be tempted. God knows what it is like to be weak and vulnerable, hungry and thirsty, lost and alone. God also knows what it is like to be saved from the evil one and attended to by angels. Better yet, God promises to resist evil for us so that we might be redeemed from our wilderness wanderings and have a place with the angels too. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor.